as follows. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him or her. For all that is in the world, the desires or the lusts of the flesh, and the desires of the eye, and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, along with its lusts, its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have a God like you, a God who hears and answers prayer, a God who is compassionate and long-suffering, a God who is kind and true and just and holy and righteous. We thank you, Father, that we can come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, and to cast our burdens and worries and frustrations upon you because you care for us. Help us to trust you with childlike faith, to be dependent on you in every situation, to know that every storm that comes into our lives, every trial that we face, every test that we go through, is a part of your plan of conforming us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, oh God, that you will comfort our hearts, renew our minds, strengthen our resolve to trust you as a child trusts its mother and father, to believe you for anything and everything, and to know that you know what's best for us. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, move upon the hearts of your people this morning. As we go to your word, may your word go through us, change us, transform us from the inside out. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Speak, Lord, your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When purpose drives direction. This message is a continuation of last Sunday's message about connecting purpose and priorities, connecting my why to what I value. To pursue your why is to find your values. Purpose flows out of values. Your value system impacts everything you do, think, say, or feel. We all possess values, good or bad, but they're not always clearly defined or examined. The Bible reveals that there are two types of values in the world. There's heavenly values, and there's earthly values. There's unspiritual values and spiritual values. There's moral values and immoral values. And we are commanded to avoid the former and embrace the latter in our purpose to glorify God in every area of your life. Doesn't matter what you do. It matters who you are with God. So Dr. Jetson, in his book, Making a Life, Not Just a Living, he proposed this question. How does your culture define success? Dr. Jensen states that the world's value system consists of five values: power, position, prestige, pleasure, prosperity, i.e. possessions. And the Apostle John warns the body of Christ in this letter, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world. That's present tense in the Greek language. So he's really saying, stop loving the world. Because some of us love the world. And some of us love the world too much. So he says, stop loving the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What does John mean by the world? The New Testament Testament Greek word for world is cosmos, right? That means people. And Jesus said it in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He's speaking about people or humanity. The word world in 1 John 2:15 does not refer to people. It does not refer to humanity. There's a second meaning of the New Testament Greek word cosmos. It means the created universe. The stars, the moon, the space, the galaxies, the planets. Colossians 1:16, it says, for by him, Jesus, were all things created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. You ever thought about yourself? Especially if you are a new creation in Christ. You were made for him. But beloved, the word world in 1 John 2:15 does not refer to the universe or the creation. There's a third meaning of the New Testament Greek word cosmos, and it is a system of desires and values that stands in opposition to God and to his rule. 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The present world system is always a seductive influence which believers are called to resist, to avoid, to overcome. Because even though we live in this world, we are not of this world. And when we start living like we're of this world, we will be confused about our purpose. We will be frustrated about our calling. We will misuse our God-given gifts. James 4:4 says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So the word world in 1 John 2:15 refers to a spiritual world system of desires and values that stands in opposition to God's value system. It is a system that is controlled and influenced and empowered by Satan and his fallen angels. Talk to me, somebody. The Apostle John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. May I just add that this word love is agapeo. Isn't that amazing? Our noun word for love in the Greek is agape. To wholeheartedly love, without restraint, without distance, to embrace something wholeheartedly, to love it passionately. He said, do not love the things that are in the world. Why? Because it doesn't originate with the Father. And you are the Father's children. And your love has an object. Your love has a purpose. Your love has a focus. It is not the world system. The world system is a spiritual system under the influence of Satan and his demonic forces impacting the minds and the hearts of people and moving them away from God's purpose for their existence in this world. Apostle John condenses the world's value system into three primary values that believers are commanded do not love. That command is ongoing present tense. Then in verse 16, John defines the things or values that characterizes the present world system. The system that we live in that we should not be a part of. And we should not love this world. 1 John John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world," what's in the world? "The desires of the flesh," that's the lust of the flesh, "the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." Here's the first value system. Stop loving the world's value of pleasure. Stop loving the world's value of pleasure. "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh." That word desire, epithemia, in the Greek, it means a craving, a longing, a desire for what is forbidden. Something you should not touch or taste. Something that you should not ingest. Something that you should not entertain. It's a forbidden thing. It's a lust. It will drive you away from your purpose in God. John is not referring to the desires of marriage and family. He's not referring to educational and economic achievement. He's not talking about do not pursue a meaningful career or profession that fulfill one's personal goals or aspirations. That's not what he's talking about when he talks about the desires of the flesh. John is referring to those whose pleasures are rooted in fallen, sinful nature. Whatever you see, you want it. Whatever you hear, you repeat it. Whatever someone says, you say it. What people do, you do it. Just look at your computer. You held in your hand every single minute of the day. God help us. And we consume a world's value system and expect to remain spiritual in our thinking. It will not happen. When you digest TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and all the other memes that are out there, you're not going to be thinking on heavenly things. You're not going to want to do heavenly things. You're going to appease your sinful propensities that you've been redeemed from. It is those desires that will lead one away from glorifying and pleasing God in the world. Philippians 3:18-19, Paul says, "For I have often told you, and now again I say it with tears, that many in the church are living as enemies of the cross of Christ." That's an amazing verse. Their end is destruction. Their goal is their appetites, their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They have no shame in their game. And they are focused on, listen to this, earthly things. What are those earthly things? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. I know some of you are thinking, is he going to talk about my car? Is he going to talk about my house? What about my brand name clothes I have on and my brand name shoes? That's not the things John is talking about. He's talking about the things that characterize our world system. Lust and desire for things that draws us away from an intimate and personal devotion to God through our living. Beloved, listen. Knowing your why it's not about what you do. Every time we look at purpose, we look at activities. It's not what you do. Your purpose is, who are you? Are you a representative of God, a child of God? Are you a representative of this world, or a child of the devil? There's only two options from a biblical standpoint. There are lost people, and there are people who have been found. There are saved people, and there are unsaved people. There are people on their way to heaven, there's people on their way to hell. And you have to choose who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, the devil can give you any purpose through this world system that will drive your passions and drive your desires away from him. Do y'all hear me this morning? Your purpose is not about what you do. Because you do
do those things. And if you want to go further, you go further. You're going to do what you're going to do. But who are you as you do those things? That's what John is talking about. That's what the Bible is getting at. It's about who you are. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. It is a process not only of being justified in the past and glorified in the future, but being set apart in the present. Are you living your life set apart for God? Are you setting yourself apart from God? Are you setting yourself apart to please God? And how you live this life, and how you love, and how you relate, and how you forgive, and how you deal with problems and controversy in your life, and how you face trials and testings in your life. Are you setting yourself apart in a way that God can be magnified through your mess and give him the glory through what you're going through? It's not about what you do, your purpose. Your purpose is about who you are. And when you know who you are, and you know the God who you belong to, you can do great exploits. You can do great things for the kingdom of God. Because everything we do should be unto the Lord. If you're married today, you should be loving your wife as Christ loved the church. That's unto the Lord. The wife submits to the husband as Christ submitted to the Father. That's unto the Lord. Parents raising their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's unto the Lord. Whether they believe it or not, it's not the issue. The issue is to be the model of it, to walk it out, to live it out, to love it out, to learn it in such a way that you can teach it to someone else. That's living unto the Lord. How about on your job? Do you do your work as unto the Lord? Do you do it with excellence? Do you do it on time? Do you do it in a way that is affirming of the reality that this is the kind of calling and job and career and profession you should be in? Why? Because you're letting your light shine by excelling in what you do. But are you doing it unto the Lord, or are you doing it for people to please, to be pleased with you, to give you a pat on the back, to give you a certificate of attendance? I never understood the certificate of attendance at school. Aren't we supposed to be at school every day? Aren't we supposed to be doing what we're doing? Aren't we supposed to be getting good grades and reading and studying? Why are we getting certificates for things we should do? Do it unto who? The Lord. Why? Your why is not about what you do. Your why is about who you are and your values. What you value moves that purpose. Look to what Jesus says here. This kind of love we're talking about for the world will divide your affections between God's value and the world's value system that is in opposition to him. Jesus says this in Matthew 22, verse 37 and 39. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Kenneth Boa, he states it this way. Love God completely, love yourself correctly, and love others compassionately. That's good. That's good. Because we have a way of loving ourselves in an incorrect way. And then we love others incorrectly. We love them so much, like David, you won't discipline your child for doing evil. Like many parents who send their kids to school won't discipline their kids for causing hell in the classroom, because they love them so much. We can love someone so much that it becomes self-destructive. Are y'all talking to me today? I mean, I feel like I'm talking to myself here. One of the greatest industries today in this society is entertainment. And people go to church to be entertained. And then the church becomes a circus of entertainment. Never speaks to the heart and the mind and the soul of the listener. And always having people in this moment, wow moment, without understanding what it means to love and worship and serve Almighty God. Moses was 40 years old in Egypt, at the pinnacle of his intellectual, volitional, emotional, and physical prowess. I mean, he was the man. He was in a position where he was considered by many to be the prince of Egypt. Instead of leaning into what many thought was his purpose as Pharaoh's daughter's adopted son, Hebrews 11, listen to this, Hebrews 11, verses 24 and 26 says this: by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Man, that's a position of prestige, of power, of access, of mobility, upward mobility, influence, pleasure. He refused it. Not faith. It says in verse 25, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Oh, my God. He considered the reproach of Christ, the Messiah, greater wealth than the wealth of Egypt. All that bling, bling. Says this in verse 26. It says, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. And this is what it says at the end. For he was looking to the reward. Notice what it didn't say. He wasn't looking for a reward. He was looking to the reward. Because God was his great and exceeding reward. Is Christ your great and exceeding reward? Are you living your life with such passion that you want to see him? That when you see him, everything will be all right. When you see him, all of your past disappointments will just subside and go away. And you will be free in your being and your soul and your mind, not tied down to soul ties or any kind of ties, because you see him. And your whole purpose of living is to see him face to face. That's what Moses was doing. He was looking to the reward. He was not looking for a reward. Philippians 2:13 says this: for it is God who works in you both to desire and to do for his good pleasure. You don't think you can do it. You can't, but he can. Won't he do it? If you submit your will, mind, and emotions to the authority of God's word, and you submit yourself to the indwelling spirit of God, Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you, energizing you within. To do what? Both to desire and to do what pleases him. Beloved, you were created to bring pleasure to Almighty God. Isn't it amazing that I can bring pleasure to God? I can bring pleasure to an independent, sufficient, I am who I am kind of God that don't need anyone. Because he's all sufficient. There's no lack in him. significant, to be secure, to be fulfilled. That's what the world system says to us. The world system, even if you got something new today, you watch TV long enough, it will make you discontent with what you just purchased. I mean, you just got it. But they'll say, oh, you need something better than that. You got the wrong model. This is the new model. You need this iPhone. You got that old iPhone. And God forbid you have an Android. They talk about you. Listen, true believers exist for God's pleasure. And we can overcome this value of pleasure in our society by valuing God's love for us. Because God's love is sacrificial, unconditional, and committed. That kind of love. He said, don't love the world that way. Love, don't love the world the way you love God. This is the kind of value that drives the why. To be like him in the world. To be like him in your relationship. To be like him on your job. To be like him in your living. The love of God is not some non-discerning, blind emotionalism. It's a supernatural love, a God-deposited love, characterized by discernment and knowledge. The value of biblical love, beloved, counters the value of worldly pleasure. It exists in this world. It tries to lead us away from our first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, he says, if you're going to stay on purpose, stop loving the world's value of possessions. He says, and the desires of the eyes. Stop loving possessions. Don't allow things to define who you are and why you are and what you are. Don't be enslaved by a brand name. If people wear or drive a certain brand, they are considered important. It somehow determines their worth and their dignity as a human being, which is sad. Because human beings in raggedy clothes and ride on the bicycle have value. Why? Because they are created in the image and likeness of Almighty God. It's not where you live, it's not how you dress, it's not what you drive. It's not how you look, it's that you are created in his image. That should give you value. And that value should cause you to treat anyone with respect and compassion. We are here with you today. Those who love things have a tendency to use people and love things instead of using things and loving people. How about you? The lust of the eyes is enslaved, captured, captivated by the world's value system. The ambition to possess everything that appeals to my eyes is the lust of the eyes. It's a worldly thing. You have a wife, but your eyes are somewhere. You're taking on a different value system. You have a girlfriend, but you're looking at somebody else's girlfriend. You got an eye problem. No, you don't. You got a heart problem. Your heart needs transformation. Your heart needs to go through spiritual surgery. You need repentance and confession and contrition. You need to do business with God. You need to admit your sins and ask for his cleansing and his cathartic spiritual release. That's what you need. Beloved, don't be defined by what you possess. Our society is consumed with consuming. Are we not? I'm not saying don't possess things. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't let things possess you. And we have too many who feel that being spiritual and blessed by God is to amass and possess wealth and power. That is not God. it's not. If it was, then Jesus would come to earth with possessions and power. But he did not. His disciples would have had possessions and power. They did not. Don't base your worth, value, or dignity on your net worth or the lack thereof. Jesus said this in Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Don't value the world system of possessions and prosperity. Right now we have a generation of Christians who are being led down a slippery slope where they are convinced by these so-called preachers of the gospel that they must give to get. Not give as a service to God and his work and his kingdom. But whatever I give, I'm going to get it back double fold. I'm going to get it back triple. And they have people emptying their bank accounts, their 401ks, to try to give in order to get. And that is a lie from the devil. Beloved, we need to be careful. Jesus said in Luke 12, 15, he says, watch out and be on guard against all greed. Because that's what this value system of the world will have you doing. You will be greedy. You already have it, but you want more of what you have. And then you want what others have. You're being greedy and idolatrous at the same time. You're coveting at the same time. He says, watch out for that. Be on guard against all greed because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions. When we prioritize God's kingdom values, our entire lives are filled with light and clarity. And we see things as just an opportunity to advance his kingdom, not to advance our lust. You see what I'm saying? However, when we focus on earthly possessions or worldly desires, we become blinded to the truth and live in spiritual darkness, not knowing who we are. It's all about identity. Because when you know who you are, then people around you can't convince you otherwise. But if you're confused about who you are, everybody's going to change you into what they want you to be. And ain't that the truth? You will start acting in ways around people that don't even like you. You'll start buying stuff to impress them and they're not even concerned about you. So you're wasting your time and your energy and your money trying to impress people that are not impressed with you either way. And lastly, he says, stop loving the world's, this point three, the world's value. 1 John 2:16 says, and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. This is about what makes us feel important. Ego, boasting, living for likes and applause. That's why we go to Facebook. How many people like what I just said? And then if they don't give us enough likes, then we feel bad that whole day. They didn't like what I said. I thought what I said was good to like. And you get 2 likes and you go, I got more friends than that, don't I? I got about 50, 60 friends on my friend thing on Facebook. And I get 2 likes, start feeling bad about yourself. Because it's all about yourself. Listen, beloved. John says, none of these come from the Father. Building a name for yourself instead of building up God before others, it's not from the Father. They're counterfeits. Promising joy, but delivering emptiness. Have you ever fallen to that trap? Someone told you something. extremely status conscious, aren't we? We want people to look up to us. We want people to think we are significant and successful, that we are high-value women and high-value men. But Proverbs 6, 16 and 17 says, the Lord hates six things, and in fact, seven are detestable to him. I'm going to give you one. Arrogant eyes, a proud look, a haughty spirit. He hates it. It's an abomination to him. But in the world system, that's the way to be. Proverbs 16, 18 says, pride comes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit attitude before a fall. Whether that's attitudinally or whether that's a lifestyle. C.S. Lewis frequently discussed pride as the fundamental vice and the essential vice or the utmost evil. He also used the metaphor of pride being the mother hen under which all other sins are hatched. Pride is the mother of all sins. God's value system is rooted. James 4, 6, he says, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Oh, my goodness. If we could just teach people to be humble, but you got to start early. The older you get, the more difficult it will become. Why? Because you're going to say, well, I've already experienced that. I already know that. I've already been through. Unwilling to learn something new and different. Like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You can't teach young dogs new tricks. If you don't get them early enough, my little dog Gizmo, he can't learn any tricks. We waited too late to teach him any tricks. So he don't get anything that you're saying other than it's time to eat. A bad potato chip bag, he's running. A wrapping is torn up, he's jumping up. That's all he knows. Listen, beloved, Romans 12, 2 says in the Message Bible, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, his perfect will. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it. If you buy into the world's value system in life, the value of pleasure and possession and pride, you will miss God's purpose and calling on you. Reflect on what you value. What do you really value? Don't answer that today. Think about that. No matter what you say you believe, your values are demonstrative. You live them out every day. Hebrews 11, 25 says the pleasures of sin is only last for a short time. Possessions doesn't last. 1 Corinthians 6, 7 says we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Isn't that the truth? And if you've been a part of a loved one passing away that's close to you, you know that's a reality. Because when that loved one leaves, buried 6 feet under, you got to deal with all the stuff they left behind. If you have no purpose in life, none of this stuff really matters. The Apostle John reveals why we should not love the things of the world. It's the passing world versus the permanent kingdom. That's what he's saying in verse 17. Look at it. 1 John 2:17. And the world is passing away along with its desires, its lusts. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. I love that. Whoever does the will doing the will of God is your purpose. Discovering His will is in His Word, and doing what His Word says is your purpose as a child of God. reason for John's warning. The world is temporary. God is eternal. The world is not going to last. God is eternal. Every worldly idol, every shiny temptation, every achievement that isn't rooted in God will fade away. Said it this way in Mark 8:36. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Do you value your soul? Do you value the soul? If we did, we'd be talking to others who have no relationship with Jesus. Because if they died in that state, no matter how good, how great and kind they have been, if they died without Christ, they are eternally lost. But because we don't examine your affections. Examine what you really love, what you really adore. What excites you most? What do you think about in your free time? Are you more captivated by entertainment than by Scripture? Don't answer that. Just think about it. Examine your affections. This is an internal inventory of where you're at with God. Secondly, practice detachment from the world. Can you put that cell phone down for an hour? Can you just go on a fast? I mean, a Facebook fast, an Instagram fast, a TikTok fast. Come on, somebody. Can you go on a fast? Can you go on a fast for an hour? If you have problems, if you have problems with fasting, can you not sleep with your phone at night? Put it on the table. Why is it in the bed with you? Why is it there near your chest, your heartbeat? Oh, love my iPhone. Oh, can't you hear the heartbeat of the Android? Let it go. Go to sleep. Distractions. You can't fast from distractions. What's distracting you from your spiritual development? Stop doing it. Ask this question. Is this helping me what I'm doing with my life? To love and serve Christ more or to love him less or to serve him less? Practice detachment. Then lastly, pursue the will of God daily. Obedience is not a flashy thing, but it lasts forever. Meditate on God's word. Think about his word. Muse on his word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Serve with humility. This is how we sharpen as we do men and women of Christ. Our purpose is my why. My priorities is my values. My values drive my purpose. Let's pray. Father God, teach your church to treasure you more than wealth, to desire your presence more than pleasure, to hunger for your word more than applause, and to love you with all our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our strength. Thank you that you're at work in us, giving us the desire and the ability to please you. Lord Jesus, you gave up the riches of heaven for our sake. May we never trust.